morning, everyone. Greetings in precious name of Jesus. Oh, what a salvation this, that Christ liveth in me. Appreciated that song. I was really blessed by the service already this morning. And appreciated the songs, the devotional meditation, and the Sunday school discussion that we had. Christian life is a daily experience. It's not just a one-time event. A daily dying to self and allowing Christ to live in us. For a message, you can turn, first of all, to John chapter 4, the familiar story of the woman at the well. While you're turning there, just a couple verses that I'd like to share out of John's revelation in relation to the topic of this message this morning, to get our minds stirred, or the gears of our minds turning in the direction of the message. In John, or in Revelation 22, verse 1, he says, "And he showed me a pure river." This is talking about in heaven. There's a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And also in chapter 21, verse 6, Jesus' words, he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." The title of the message is simply "The Water of Life." What are you thirsting for? Is it the water of life, or is it something else? Have you allowed the water of life to flow freely into your heart? Let's read this passage in John chapter 4. Let's just start at verse 3. Jesus is traveling, and he's leaving Judea and departing to go into Galilee. And to travel that direction, he needed to go through Samaria. Now, some of the Jews would make it a point to go around, to go up to Samaria from to go around Samaria, because they didn't have a liking. I don't have a lot of history on that part, but they didn't have a liking for Samaritans. They looked down on them. And Jesus didn't do that. He went right through Samaria. And he comes to a city, and it's in Samaria, and it's called Sychar, near to the parcel of the ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, he sat down thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria, while he's sitting there resting, to draw water to the well there. And Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink," because his disciples had gone into the city to buy meat. So he was by himself there at the well. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God," if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, "Give me to drink," thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." Jesus had a spiritual meaning behind his statement, but she didn't understand. You don't have anything to pull the water out of this well, and it's deep. So from where do you get this living water? "Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. She wanted some of this water, not necessarily for her spiritual life, but for the convenience. If I have this water that I will never thirst again, I won't have to come and draw out of this well. But Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She kind of diverts the conversation to where they worship. Jesus stays on track. He says to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know that we worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I am the Messiah. This morning, God created every one of us, from the oldest to the youngest, with a longing or a desire for fulfillment in our hearts. And it's a void that only He can truly satisfy. Satan is trying to get us to satisfy our longings or our thirst with something other than God. But the reality is that nothing that Satan or the world has to offer will satisfy the desire of your soul. Nothing. The things that Satan tempts us with in this world are temporary, and they lead to destruction. It's like trying to satisfy your hunger with a bunch of candy. It tastes sweet. And it might satisfy your hunger at first, but it doesn't bring nourishment. And we end up with a rotten stomach. Only God can satisfy the longing in our souls. I think of so many people in the society, in the world around us, turn to many different things to try to satisfy the longings in their hearts. And I think we all understand and realize and know that addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to pornography, and all of those things doesn't bring satisfaction. It only makes our problems worse. But I want to challenge us this morning, brothers and sisters, what about our electronic devices? Where are we turning to find satisfaction? The cure for all spiritual sickness, all longings, is Jesus' water of life. That is the only thing. And I just think it's summed up so well. We're going to turn back to 1 John chapter 2. In these verses, it sums it up so well. 1 John chapter 2, in verses 15 to 17. Again, familiar verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. we can't love the world and say we love God because the two don't mix. And we'll look into that more as we go. For all that is in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doth the will of God abideth forever. We cannot love the world and say we love God. It's like oil and water, it doesn't mix. Let's break these down a little bit in verse 16. The first one is the lust of the flesh. That could be rephrased as a craving for physical pleasure. The woman at the well was trying to satisfy her longings with immoral relationships with men. In Judges chapter 14, we see the story about Samson. And when he saw this Philistine woman in Timnath, he told his parents to get her for me to wife. And even after they challenged him why he would get one a Philistine woman instead of one of his own people. And Samson said, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Well, we know how that story goes. That relationship didn't go well, and he ended up losing his wife. But later in Judges 16, in verse 4, it says that he loved another Philistine woman, Delilah. And we know how that story went. This relationship didn't end up with anything good, and ended up leading him to his capture and ultimately his death among the Philistines. Now, God used Samson to accomplish his purpose in destroying the Israelites' enemies, the enemy of his people. But there was a lot of pain and sorrow that came with his thirsting after the lust of the flesh, the craving for physical pleasure. And it's a trap that every one of us can be tempted to fall into. And if we're not careful, we will. It's things that don't last. It's a craving to please ourselves, and it leads to destruction. And the second one here is the lust of the eyes. And that could be rephrased as a craving for everything that we see. I have a little story I'd like to share in relation to this point. I'm sure some of you have heard it already, and there's actually a variety of different versions of this story, but the moral of the story is pretty clear. One day, a wealthy businessman was vacationing in a small Caribbean coastal town, and he saw a local fisherman taking a nap next to his boat after a seemingly fruitful day of fishing. Why didn't you fish for more? The businessman asked him. The fisherman replied, with this small catch that I have enough to meet my family's needs. Perplexed, the businessman replied, enough to live on, he asked. Why, you should have caught more fish with that than that. You know, with more hours of work, you could buy a bigger boat and catch more fish. And with the profits from the sale of the extra fish, you could buy a fleet of boats. And what would I do next? The fisherman asked. Well, with the rent from the fleet, you could build the largest fish processing plant in the area and hire people to work there, and you could turn it into an empire. And then what? Well, then you could go public and become a multimillionaire, answered the businessman. And then what? The businessman replied, well, then you could live like a king with no worries. You could swim in the sea every morning, fish for a while a day, and spend the rest of the time with your family. And what do you think I'm doing right now? Asked the fisherman. You know, the moral of this story is that sometimes we miss out on the little things, the most important things in life, by relentlessly pursuing more wealth, more power, and more material possessions. the lust of the eyes. It also reminds us to value what really matters and not to neglect our family, taking time for Bible reading, for devotions and prayer, in the pursuit of trying to get more. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up treasures in heaven, things that last. The lust of the eyes, craving for everything we see, the desire for material wealth will leave us always wanting more and more and more, and it will never satisfy the longing in our soul. The third one here in verse 16 is the pride of life. We could rephrase that as pride in our achievements, our possessions, or maybe an obsession with our status or importance. I had to think of social media and how that it's largely used to display a person's achievements, their possessions, and to make themselves look good to other people. Isn't this the pride of life? You know, I think sending pictures back and forth to family members can be a way to share what is going on in our lives. If we're out of the area and we want to share with our family what's happening, I think that has its place. But we must be careful not to let it take the place of real in-person time together. And that applies with any relationship. And how are we trying to portray to other people who we are? Are we trying to make ourselves look like something that we really aren't? It's a challenge to each one of us. So how do we experience the water of life in daily life? From day to day, how do we experience this? How do we find fulfillment? Maybe in the mundane and everyday experience humdrum of life. You get up in the morning, you fill the wash machine, and you run another cycle and another cycle and another cycle of wash, and then you fold it, knowing full well it's going to get unfolded and dirty and go through the wash again. You wash the kitchen sink, knowing full well that after supper it's going to be cluttered again. You go to work and maybe you fix a customer's car again for the how many times, knowing that full well that it's going to break down someday again. You clean the cows and you milk them, knowing full well they're going to get dirty again. How do you find fulfillment in the mundane and the everyday experiences of life? We had a little cottage meeting there on Thursday evening. Brother Clarence shared a little devotional meditation that really stood out to me. I'm not going to just repeat it, but we're going to look at John chapter 15 a little bit. You can turn there in your Bibles if you wish. John chapter 15. He shared about the pruning that goes on in the grapevines and how God prunes us and brings us through hard experiences sometimes to help us produce more fruit. The focus I'd like to pull out of this is verse 11. Jesus is talking in this passage, and he says in verse 11 that these things have I spoken unto you. I've told you these things. This is the purpose of this story, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. He wants us to give a full, satisfied life. He wants us to find fulfillment in life. And he talks about, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. And he talks about the purging in verses 2 and 3. and so forth, and on down through there. And he says, abide in me in verse 4, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Brothers and sisters, we can't find fulfillment in life if we're not connected to Jesus. When we're connected to the vine, which is Jesus, it gives us an inner joy and a sense of fulfillment or satisfaction that nothing else can. So how do we stay connected? Well, turn off the distractions. Turn off the phone, whatever it is. Read about the teachings and the happenings of Jesus. The miracles. The life lessons. Jesus gives a lot of object lessons. The parable of the sower and so forth. Read about those things on a daily basis. Spend time in prayer. I think that's something that I know for myself can fall by the wayside. Yes, I might take time to pray before each meal. But really seek the heart of God in prayer. Casting all your cares. Tell him about your struggles. Confessing all your sins. And don't forget to thank him for what all he has done for you. Spend time in prayer. That brings fulfillment. That connects us to the vine. And also allow him, like we talked about a little bit this morning and we heard about it in our devotional meditation, allow him to reign on the throne of your heart. It calls us to deny ourselves. Jesus said, deny self, take up your cross and follow me. It's a daily denying of self. Putting our selfish nature to death on the cross. Take up your cross and follow him. In 1 John, I'm going to read a few verses in this passage as well. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1, and just read the first four verses. That which was from the beginning, which we have seen, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. This is the key point, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And again, these words, and these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. When a group of people who have experienced the work of Jesus in their hearts, it says that which we have seen with our eyes and we have felt and we've heard and we've handled, the experiences in our own hearts. When a group of people who have experienced the work of Jesus in their hearts, people who have seen and felt him in their lives, and are in an open relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ, when a group of people like this get together, there is a wonderful fellowship with each other. And that brings a fullness of joy that doesn't compare to any other fellowship. It's what we have here this morning. It's a blessing. The fellowship of believers of like-minded faith is so precious. Just read a few more verses. In verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. When we, as a church, as a body of believers, are open to each other, confessing our sins, when we are trying to live holy lives and holding each other accountable, inspiring each other and loving each other, there is such a wonderful joy and a satisfaction. Brothers and sisters, electronic communication does not take the place of this. And I bring this up again because it's a burden on my heart. And it's a trend that started very strongly in 2020 during COVID. A lot of churches stopped gathering together and they live streamed the service. And they miss out on the warmth of the handshake, the eye-to-eye contact conversation, the precious fellowship that we have together when we gather together. As it says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need each other. And the fellowship that we can experience together is so precious, and it brings fulfillment. Fullness of joy. You know, Satan will try to tempt us in many ways to fill this longing in our souls with things that will not last and that will take us away from God. But again, they lead to destruction. In Isaiah chapter 55, it was interesting. I've been reading through Isaiah in my personal devotions, and this morning, this was the chapter to read. It was interesting how it lined up with the thoughts on the message that I had on my heart. In Isaiah 55, verses 1 and 2. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Why do you work so hard for things that don't bring fulfillment? Is the challenge to us. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness, in things that bring nourishment, that satisfy, lasting satisfaction. Only Jesus can give us the water of life. When we give up our will and our desires and allow Jesus to rule in our hearts, it brings such an inner peace and a joy that radiates from our lives. Yes, this life has trials. There are hardships. But when we experience the gift of salvation from our sinful desires through Jesus Christ, we can still have a peace even though we face trials and tests. We can have an inner peace in our hearts. In verse 6 in Isaiah 55 here, it says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek the Lord while you have opportunity. Don't wait until it's too late. God doesn't move away from us. But if we are not experiencing the water of life, we will move away from him and it becomes harder and harder to seek God when you're further and further, drifting further and further away from Him. And we don't know how long the opportunity will be. Today is a day of grace. We don't know how long God will allow the earth to remain, or how long our lives will go on. Seek God while you have opportunity. In Revelation, in closing, I'd like to read a few verses here. Chapter 22 in Revelations. Starting at verse 12. Revelations 22. Starting at verse 12, this is a few verses of Jesus' words. Verses 12 and 13, he's saying, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." John goes on to say, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Again, Jesus' words in verse 16. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star." And John closes with these words in verse 17. "And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride, the church of Jesus Christ, say, Come. And let him that heareth, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." The water source will never run dry. It will never run out. It doesn't matter how many people come for this water of life and accept Jesus as the water of life in their hearts. It will never run dry. It will never run out. The call this morning is for whosoever will to come and take of the water of life freely. This morning, if you know that your heart isn't right with God, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, if you have hidden sin in your life, come. Take the water of life. It's free for anyone who will come. We must give up ourselves in the process, yes. And it is a constant daily surrendering to God's will. But it's the only thing that will bring satisfaction. If you feel God calling on your heart, talk to your parents, talk to your ministry, talk to someone you trust, confess your sins, take the water of life that lasts. Let's kneel for prayer.